Welcome to Confessions from a Dental Lab. This show is all about bringing you into the lab, beneath the surface, so you can see things, hear things, and understand things right from the source. Learn from longtime ceramists, dentists, and lab techs, both young and old. Without further ado, let's begin.
Thanks for having me, KJ.
Yes, you're very welcome. My name is KJ Eichsted. We're here with James Wanamaker, and this is Confessions from a Dental Lab, the show that takes you beneath the surface, right to the source. So together, through these episodes, we can all get a little bit better. And like I said, we have Dr. James Wanamaker on the show today. He comes very highly regarded. And Dr. Wanamaker, where are you calling from?
I am calling from upstate New York, a small town called Skaneateles, which is about 20 minutes outside of Syracuse.
Awesome. So I think that's a great way to get into our first question. Could you introduce yourself? Like, who is Dr. Wanamaker, who you are, and what you do?
Yeah. So I am a general dentist practicing in upstate New York, graduated from Buffalo in 2016. I've always been involved with a lot of different aspects of dentistry in terms of organized dentistry and then the education side of dentistry. Outside of my private practice, I currently serve as the vice chair on the ADA's new dentist committee. And then I'm also the director of education for Ignite DDS, which is a dental education company with an emphasis on new dentist education. So I wear a lot of different hats.
Yeah, it's really interesting right off the bat because a lot of the theme, I would say, of what I hear from dentists, or one of the major themes, is just how important it is to always be learning, because just like it's dentistry, just like it's the dental lab side of things, or even another field entirely, things are evolving and the rate of change is high. So I think it's really cool how you're so involved in the educational aspect of things.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I found it really pushes me to stay on top of my game. You know, if I'm helping create educational content for other new dentists, I need to make sure that I'm getting the education to be at the top of my game and provide that knowledge to others.
That's very true. And they say, I forget exactly how it's phrased, but they say, like, you know, 90% of what you can teach someone else. So there's definitely that. And there's a lot of different ways to learn. So that's kind of interesting. You kind of answered a little bit of my second question, but did you always know, like, you wanted to be a dentist growing up? Like, how long you've been practicing for, and can you tell us about your dental journey? Take that any direction you'd like.
My dental journey started when I was 8 years old, and I flew off a bike in a Volst number 8, and then spent a good amount of my childhood in the dental chair getting a Maryland Bridge and other dental work associated with that, and then realized in high school, you know, I think I could do this as a career, and really didn't look back from there. And then, you know, thankfully I got an implant in dental school, so I can say that part of that chapter of my life is over, and I can now help other people get the care that I had when I was a kid.
You know, that's so interesting because I hear a lot of these stories about some people wanting to do it since they were kids, right? Maybe a story something similar to yours. But on the other hand, maybe it's like the patient perspective. A lot of people have that fear and that anxiety when going to the dentist. And was it one of those things where, I'm just wondering, like, did you end up developing a relationship with the dentist and the staff, and almost like being in the practice so much kind of like showed you the cool parts of it, in addition to like taking away maybe what people might fear? Was there any of that and just like your overall belief that you could do this one day, and then here you are?
Yeah, I think part of it came into the tech that I was seeing as a kid. The oral surgeon that did a lot of my work actually had these video glasses that hooked up to a VCR. And I remember watching a Mission Impossible movie when I was like 12 years old on a pair of video glasses. And I'm like, this is awesome. Like, what type of profession has video glasses? And this is in like the early 2000s, which was way ahead of its time. I'm like, that sounds pretty cool. And then dove into it from there, shadowing, you know, my general dentist and some other specialists before I really developed that passion for it.
Man, that's so cool. I remember you're making me think back. My dentist at one point in time, this is probably like 2008, 2010 time, he had some TVs in the ceiling. So it wasn't quite as cool as the video glasses, but I would like flip on ESPN, you know, catch up on some highlights there. So that always made going not that bad at all.
Yeah, you know that anything we can do to make our patients' experience more comfortable makes a huge difference.
And then one other thing I want to touch on real quick before moving to the next question, Dr. Wanamaker, is you mentioned shadowing. And that's very interesting because I've heard that a few times too. Just how like that has been the key thing to almost like open someone's mind and open someone's world into this whole fantastic thing that is being a dentist. And I'm curious like how you approach that now that you're like a full practicing dentist. And not only that, but you're a thought leader, you know, you're helping teach others. Like, do you often have people shadow you and your staff in your practice, or what are your thoughts on that?
We have people shadow in our practice fairly regularly, whether it's local high school students that are expressing interest in dentistry. We've had college students who are pre-dental majors that want to get more experience. We've even had some of them intern and work in our office over the years. And actually, one of them now is at Columbia as a first-year dental student. So it's kind of fun to see that come full circle from someone who started as a high school student and is now in dental school. And then we also have dental assisting students come in and shadow and intern in our office from the local dental assisting program.
That's really special, and you kind of hit on it, just the sentimental value of just like seeing kind of you playing a small role in the growth of of these life-changing moves that these people are making. It's really cool. And I just want to ask, because we have people shadow us at the lab as well, and what's interesting is just like the dental practice and just like the lab, like these are both businesses that, you know, stuff has to get done, processes have to be followed, and things have to be done in a timely manner. And I'm just curious if you have any like advice for dentists out there in terms of like how to have a great shadowing experience and like environment while also maintaining efficiency and all that good stuff that comes into running a successful practice.
Yeah, so I think two parts to that. The first part is identifying the days that you want someone shadowing in your practice. So, if we have someone that requests that they want to come in and shadow, we look at the schedule and find days where I know I have some awesome patients with some interesting procedures, where I know that they would be, willing to have a guest shadowing in the room. So that's the first part. Second part is we have them come in and do our morning huddle with us. So when we meet as a team in the morning before any patients are even arriving to the office, I go through my schedule with my assistants and my hygienists, and we, identify any challenges or any opportunities that we may have in the schedule during the day. But that also frames it to the person shadowing so they know, where they should be, where they can ask questions, where they maybe need to just take a step back and not be as active in that process. And we have another doctor at the practice as well, so we go through their schedule as well so that the person who's shadowing can really maximize their experience here with us.
Man, so valuable. Thank you for sharing that. That's like the first time I think we've ever gotten a really good explanation of that, but that's gold right there. So I just want to thank you for sharing that again.
Yeah,
Question number
of course.
three. And you've already listed a few, but I want to ask anyways, what's one X factor that separates you from other dentists? And you can take this any direction you'd like.
Okay. For me, I think it's my involvement in other aspects of the profession. I found that, being involved in the American Dental Association, organized dentistry, I've found so many mentors and leaders through my participation with that, as much as I give back to the organization, I learn something new every day and every time I have an interaction at one of those conferences, at one of those meetings. And I try to bring that knowledge back to my practice. And then the same goes for my participation with Ignite DDS, is that has aligned us with so many different industry leaders and thought leaders in dentistry that I can take that experience back to my patients and some of that technology back to our patients to benefit them.
Yeah, no, thanks for expanding on that. It's always interesting. It's one of my favorite questions to ask, so I appreciate that. How about this? What's one thing your patients have taught you over the years?
One thing my patients have taught me over the years is patience myself. Everyone is coming into dentistry with a different history of dental care. They're all coming in with their own preconceived notions of what dental care should look like. And my job as the dentist is not to, you know, judge them on their previous experience, but to put their best foot forward and give them the best opportunity for the best care I can provide. So learning patients to, you know, understand patients who maybe have not had a great experience with their previous dentist, or maybe they had a childhood trauma, and being able to work them through that and coach them through that to get to that successful outcome, I think is very rewarding.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing. And patience is one of the keys to life. I think no matter what you do, it's very important, and any way you can learn it or expand on that is very beneficial. How about this? How important is it to work with a good dental lab, and why is that so important for dentists?
To me, it's essential to work with a great lab. You know, the communication is the number one priority for me. Being able to call my lab tech and, you know, go through a case, sometimes even before we start the case with the patient. When after that initial examination, you know, I find that experience level of having a good lab that has worked with a variety of cases, variety of materials, they're a knowledge base that I can utilize when I'm deciding how I may treatment plan a case. So I'll regularly send photos and models back and forth with the lab before I even finish a treatment plan, just to help come up with the best possible options for a patient.
Yeah, no, I think that is definitely, it's like the foundation, right? The foundation of a case. Before you build anything, whether it's like a skyscraper or just a, you know, a dental restoration and nailing that, it's great to have good communication, like you said, and also almost like even pre-work prep and talking through that's invaluable and it goes a long way. Quick question, if you wouldn't mind sharing, I saw something where the average dentist uses around 3.5 labs. Would you say you're over or under that?
I'm under that currently. There's two labs I currently utilize for the majority of my work. One lab for my big full mouth cases. I'm a graduate of the Dawson Academy's curriculum. So I use one lab I use focuses on full mouth, and then the other lab I use is more for my single tooth maximal intercuspation dentistry.
No, fascinating. Yeah, thank you for sharing. What do you think the future of dentistry looks like 10 years from now?
I think the future of dentistry will definitely depend on what the government does in terms of our autonomy. We could very quickly go into a two-tiered system of care, or we could remain to have the autonomy that we have today. And I think a lot of that will have to do with the legislation that comes forward. So I'm still optimistic, you know, with all the technology that we have coming out and the ability for us to advocate for the profession and advocate for our patients. I think it's important to balance the access of care with the ability for patients to have freedom to choose their provider and freedom to choose the procedures and treatments that are best for them without involvement of a third-party payer, I think is essential for the future of dentistry.
Very interesting. Yeah, thank you for sharing that as well. Do you have any advice you would give to dentists to maximize success in 2024 and beyond?
I think the most valuable thing for me was taking high quality CE early on in my career. You know, I mentioned the Dawson Academy, but I've taken a lot of CE with people like Adamo and Amanda C, who I know you've interviewed Adamo on this podcast before.
Fun one. That was a fun one.
Yeah, he's a fantastic guy. And taking high quality CE like that really just elevates the care that you can provide to your patients. And especially as a new dentist or a younger dentist, the sooner that you can focus on that high quality CE, the longer you're going to be able to offer that to your patients.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And once again, emphasizing education, can't go wrong. How about this? Do you have any goals for the future you'd be willing to share?
So two main goals for the future. One is in my practice to continue to offer the high quality care and expand the knowledge that I have as I've grown with my full mouth cases. So that's my kind of personal goal at my office. And then more of my professional goal is next year when I'm the chair of the ADA New Dentist Committee, is really expanding member value and expanding the voice of new dentists across the country, because dentistry is rapidly changing. You know, the millennials and Gen Z are quickly becoming the largest generation of dentists as the baby boomers get closer to retirement. So I think expanding that voice as a new dentist and representing my peers is my main goal for 2024.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very important as well, because you're certainly a leader. And I think the more dentists you can impact and guide in the right direction is just good for the overall oral health of everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts, like any before we wrap up here?
Well, I just appreciate you having me on the podcast and giving me the opportunity to share my story. And, you know, so many of us follow all these podcasts. It's exciting to hear from other thought leaders in the country, and you provide a great platform for that.
Yeah, we're really appreciative of you coming on, Dr. Wanamaker. And if someone wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
The quickest way is to reach out to me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Dr. Wanamaker, Dr. Wanamaker. And especially if you're a new dentist wanting to get involved in, you know, organized dentistry or leadership, or if you have, you know, an issue or concern you want to bring to me, you know, my messages are always open.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I just want to thank Dr. Wanamaker for joining the show today. This has been another amazing episode of Confessions from the Dental Lab. My name is KJ Eichsted, and we'll talk to you again very soon. Text this show to a friend. It's the easiest way to help us grow. Together, we'll keep changing the world one smile at a time. Thanks again, Dr. Wanamaker.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Confessions from a Dental Lab. If you'd like to contact the show, simply send us an email at dentallabpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us at life@newartdental on Instagram. Thank you for listening once again. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. Make sure to subscribe and tell a friend. And until next time, we're out.